Appreciate you guys. How about we go to God in prayer before we start? Our Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for who you are. You are the awesome God, the creator of all things. You are the great I am, Lord. And we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us to be together, your people, to serve you and to fellowship with each other and to love each other. And Lord, thank you for these men. Thank you for their hearts to want to further your kingdom and to love each other just as your son loved us. Lord, we thank you for your son and his example. We thank you for the love that he showed to us, even when we don't and didn't deserve it. Lord, we thank you for his willingness to do the unthinkable and die for wretched men. And Lord, we can't ever begin to thank you for that grace and the mercy given to us through your Son. But Lord, let us strive to show it in the way that we act and the way that we think. Lord, tonight be with us. Let us have open ears and open hearts to hear your truth. Let us challenge ourselves, Lord. Let us not become complacent and let us not shut down the ideas and the things that are said tonight through your word, but let us contemplate our lives and see where we can be better than we've been even as we walked in here. Lord, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for the ministers and thank you for what they mean not only to this church but to this community. And Lord, continue to let them be a shining light that shines bright. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a couple things. Thanks for letting me be here. Chuck is my guy. And Jerry is my guy. I love these two guys. I appreciate them. I've seen them around the way. Chuck really has been one of the ones to, you know, be such an encouragement to me to get me up and speaking in front of people, and Jerry as well. So I'm grateful for these guys. They have said and talked good about me behind the scenes, so they're not gossips. So that's good for you guys to know. And they truly are some brothers that I look to and text with, and we talk and we pray. And I'm grateful for them. And I see familiar faces. And, you know, I just appreciate you guys allowing me to talk to you for just a minute. I do want to challenge you. I want to challenge your hearts tonight as men. I want to not only challenge you, but I think maybe this would be my biggest push tonight is I want to breathe some life into you. I want to breathe some fresh air into you. I want you to think about this statement. It comes from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" When we think about God's setup and his establishment for the church and the idea of what men are supposed to do, we are the leaders. Now, I did hear this joke one time, and I think it's worth talking about, and I wish I made this up. So, for sure, the men are supposed to be the head of the house, right? You are the head, but your wives are probably your neck, right? No doubt about it. She's going to swivel you where you need to go, but she's going to let you be the head, right? But seriously, we are the leaders. We are the ones that should be setting the tone, right? So I thought about this, and I had a Bible study just a couple weeks ago, and it really convicted my heart. It was this idea of, I'm supposed to be the man and I'm supposed to be the leader in my house, right? And I'm supposed to be one that takes the lead in the church and being an example. And I thought about this statement about carrying my cross. And we were talking about Jesus and Him carrying His cross. Brethren, think about this for a minute. Jesus lived the perfect life all the way to the very end, right? And He goes and He gets to where He has to carry His cross. And you remember what happens? He can't even carry it all the way. Somebody else had to carry it for Him. Why was that? Complete exhaustion. He was beat to a pulp. No energy left. And I thought about the crosses that I bear, right? That cross that I bear. How exhausted am I when I carry my cross? You know, it got me. Probably not as tired as I should be. And what came from that was this lesson. And I want to challenge you to think about how you carry your cross when it comes to four things, okay? And four things are going to show where you're leadership and your manhood and your man card and all the things and how they show up in reality. If you would, turn in to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. And I want you to think about this. I don't have time to get into all the things. I wish I did, but you guys can talk about you can talk about the Hadean realm. Chuck can get y'all straight on that. And we can talk about paradise and torment. Maybe he can help you guys with that long study at a later time. But come with me to Luke 17, verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, I hope I can have your hearts on this tonight. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible that stumbling blocks will not come. It's going to happen. Stumbling blocks are going to happen, right? But notice what he says, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Leader, I'm a man. We got young men in here trying to be leaders. You think about the youth group and you think about the ones that you're around and you think about the way that you act. God is challenging men and boys to grow up to be leaders. But we think about this statement, and if we're talking about being a leader and we're talking about being an example, ask yourself this question. Be real tonight. Am I a stumbling block? Do I create stumbling blocks in my life? You know, for me, it's been a constant struggle for me, and I've had to just reset the way that I think TV. I don't know about y'all. I cannot hardly watch a show without it being terrible. I mean, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's language, whether it's sex, whether it's whatever, right? So I've almost resorted only to watching a ball game, right? Or Andy Griffith. That's the only two shows you can watch, right? Andy Griffith, before you go to sleep, and the ball game. That's it. That's the only options you got. But yet, we find ourselves, and maybe I'm solo on this, but as a preacher, I'm about to tell you the truth. We sit down and we'll look for shows, and somehow, some way, we justify what we're watching. You know, some of the most embarrassing things that ever came my way when we were watching TV, and it still happens to come up, is this statement. Hey, babe, pause that. Libby, you need to get out of here. Really? Really? Oh, but it's not that bad. It's got just a little bit of language. And I mean, it's mature, but it's not. Wait a minute. What are we doing? We're creating stumbling blocks. You don't think that my daughter, who's 9 years old, understands why I'm telling her to get out? She knows that whatever's on TV is inappropriate. And so therefore, every time she would walk through the living room, she doesn't even look at the TV because she doesn't want to feel like she's going to get in trouble. How embarrassing is that? What? Maybe that's not your deal. Maybe it's not TV. How do you talk in the car when somebody's cutting you off? No, everybody in here love that, boy, don't they? Really? Seriously? Number one thoughts come up real quick in our minds, don't they? Number one guy passing by. Think about the way that you talk when you leave this building. Think about what's being said, not maybe necessarily to your kids, but maybe around the people in your group. Maybe you have some people in your group that are actually not as spiritually mature as you. Maybe you can handle that conversation. Maybe you can talk about that and be okay, but what happens when they get to hear it? See, I think that the first challenge, and I think the number one thing would be this. We need to, as men, recognize that we need to learn how to not tempt others. Straight up. You think Jesus ever put any of his disciples, any of the followers in his group, in a situation where he was the one leading them into temptation? Come on, man. No way. When a situation came up, and if it did present itself to be tempted to do something, what was Jesus saying? You remember when Satan went to Jesus and he said, man, I know you're about to starve to death, bro. You've been out in the desert for 40 days. There's a rock, man. Just turn it to bread. I know who you are. Hungry, but didn't give in. Carried his cross to the point of exhaustion. And I can't even carry my cross in my house because I got to watch that movie, because I got to say that thing, because I got to be disrespectful to my parents, because they don't really know what they're talking about. See, not only can parents tempt the children, but the children can tempt the parents. Am I right about that? Oh, man. My boy has said some crazy things. My boy's 23 and he knows all the things. And sometimes I got to just, you know, put that boy in that headlock, son. Talking to me, boy. He could whoop me. But you know what? I got that mental on that boy, don't I, right? Got that veteran on him. But think about this seriously. Am I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're doing, but you do. And men of the church stand out. Men of the church are different. They're leaders and they lead by example. The second thing is this one. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall do what? Forgive that boy. Remember, Peter, you guys have heard way better lessons than I'm about to say on this, but you remember Peter came at 7, he's like, no, dude, 490. 490 times will be sufficient. The first thing is, am I being a man in the idea that I'm not going to tempt other people? And the second thing is this, am I going to be a man into the idea of having an unforgiving spirit? I want to give y'all a story. It just happened to me today, and this is why I think it happened, because I need to tell y'all. I got to confess to y'all something, okay? Can I? All right, here we go. So, The school that my daughter goes to, my wife taught at for 15 years. Okay? My son went to that school. And now my daughter goes there. So I have been at Clyde Riggs Elementary or a part of Clyde Riggs Elementary for a long time. So I should have some respect up in that place, don't you think? Kidding me? So I pull up in the children pickup line, and I've kind of been a rebel on this, y'all. Like, you know you're supposed to put the silly car tag on the mirror, right? Libby on the front. Well, I don't put that on there. Why? Because they know who I am. Kidding me? Pull it up there. I've done it all last year. I did it. About a month ago, I pulled up, and me and the principal, Miss Robbins, we're tight, or I thought so. So I pull up, and I'm in my own world and, you know, talking and da-da-da, and Miss Robbins walks up to my car, and she's, hey, I'm like, yeah, okay. And then Libby's standing right here. I lowered it down. She said, hey, so if you don't have your tag on the mirror, then you don't get to pick up your kid. And I'm like, do you not know who I am? I'm like, Miss Robbins. And she's like, no, what I'm telling you is, and I'm going to be a stickler for this, and I'm going to be looking especially at you to see, because we got so many people that will not put their tag on the car. Now look, y'all, I did so good. I was having such a good day. I was working through my lesson and all of the stuff. And I said, and Libby, here we go, not tempting others. Libby's standing at the car and she's like, oh, Miss Robbins, you're about to get it. She is just as nervous as can be, like, Dad, don't embarrass me, please. Teacher's standing there, right? So I say, okay, no problem. I pull out. And Libby said, man, Dad, you sure handled that well. Really? Seriously? She's 9. I mean, why would you say that to me? So we're done. We get through that. I put the tag on, and I'm okay with that. So this morning, Aaron comes. I'm fixing the water, the lunch for Libby, and, you know, I'm about to give him a kiss bye and all the things. And Aaron said, oh, yeah, by the way, we're kind of going to have to change up the way that we got to make sure that the school knows how we're going to pick up Libby. Because when I changed work, I couldn't pick her up as much as I did. And so sometimes she'd ride the bus. Sometimes she'd be on pickup, you know, car pickup. Well, I thought that she sent a note home with Libby talking about me, that we weren't doing what we were supposed to do. And I said, that's fine. I'm going up there this morning, and I'm talking to her. And Aaron was like, babe, wait a minute. And I said, no, it's fine. You've seen me go up there before, and I will absolutely tell them exactly what they need to hear. I mean, I've almost been arrested before going up there, so they know who I am. Guess who's sitting there watching me? Great example, Dad, preacher man. Aaron said, babe, they sent this home with everybody. They sent that home with everybody. You know, she was just trying to do her job. Can you imagine what's happening? If a note has to get sent home, there's other people there's a lot happening that I don't know about. But you know what it was all about, guys? It's all about me, man. It was all about me, and it was me trying to get back at her. My heart wasn't right. Why do I bring that up in this idea? Because I should have just let that go. Even if she did have a bad day and she did say it to me disrespectful, she did. There was no doubt about it that day. But you know what I should have done? I should have just let it go and I should have gave her the benefit of the doubt and I should have just gone on about it. And if she needed me to obey the rule, then I should have just obeyed the rule. Here's the problem, guys. This is what men do. We got hard heads, y'all. They're hard. We can all act like they're not, but they are. And young bucks really got some hard heads, man. I remember as young as I was, my daddy couldn't tell me nothing, man. He still can't. But look at what he says. Take heed, verse 3, to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times a day returns to you saying, I repent, forgive the brother, right? Have a forgiving heart. Create an atmosphere in your home where you're willing to forgive and not hold a grudge, man, and let it go. See, that's what real men do. See, real men aren't the tough guy all the time. I know the toughest guy couldn't even carry his cross to the place because he gave it his all. But yet I just set mine up and I'm okay. But yet I pick it up when I need to and then pretend. Wait a minute, am I pretending? The third thing is this, and I think this is a big one, verses 5 and 6. It says, and the apostle said to the Lord, I mean, could you imagine after you get those two things, like, man, I'm failing, Lord. I need some help. And notice what he says, increase our faith. I don't want to act like I got it all together and I don't want to create stumbling blocks. I don't want to not forgive. So I need some help. Can you help me? And notice what he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, verse 6, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It obey you. See, if I'm going to be a man, if I'm going to do it the right way, if I'm going to challenge myself to carry my cross correctly, then I got to learn how to not tempt others to do the wrong thing. And I got to have an unforgiving spirit. But you know what else I got to do? And I got to promote this and I got to show this. I've got to say, and me and Chuck just talked about it, was to not overlook the power of faith. Guess what, y'all? With man, it ain't going to happen. But guess what? I heard this one time. Somebody said it. It was in red letters. But with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. I'm a testament to that. I should be in jail. The amount of things that I've had in my car, the amount of things that I've done in my life, there is no reason that I'm standing here. But it is because God can do the impossible. I can't stop talking about it. It's changed my life forevermore. I know about not getting emotional. I know about not crying. When I obeyed the gospel, my eyes just ran rampant, man. Living water started flowing out of my eyes, man. I can't help it. I ain't scared of it. I ain't ashamed of it. Doesn't matter to me. My heart is right. My heart is aiming for something greater. I'm looking at a higher calling. I'm pressing and hitting the mark for this top thing. And you know what it is? In heaven with Jesus, praising His name. I cannot wait to see Jesus face to face. Can you imagine how much He'll care about you when He sees you? Brethren, are we vocal about our faith in our homes? Are we vocal about our faith around our people? You know, I had a guy that talked to me about this idea of, you know, the world kind of accepts now and will accept this idea of you talking about believing in God, right? Because whether it's the guys who believe in Hinduism, whether it's, you know, the Muslims, whether it's whatever these religions are, they will say that we connect with this same idea of God. But you know what, brethren? We separate on something very different than anybody else. The church claims something very powerful, that the name of Jesus is what matters. Because God highly exalted him and gave him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Brethren, are we telling people about the name of Jesus? He said, if you got faith as big as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I know this seems like an impossible task, family, but guess what? God's good. God's with me. Can you imagine teenagers talking that stuff? What? I wish I was a teenager talking that stuff, man, while I was shooting a three in somebody's face, because that's what I'd have been doing. Jesus' name, boy. Think about your life. Think about where you're at. Granddad, great-granddad, uncle, brother, son. Men are different, especially ones that follow Jesus. See, they don't tempt others to do the wrong thing. They have this attitude to say, you know what, you messed up, but I'll forgive you, man, and I don't need you to forgive me. And you know what else they say? My faith moves mountains. It moves mountains. You know what I mean? Mountains have been in my way, y'all. You know what I mean? Mountains have been in my way. They ain't there no more. They're not there no more. Because God said, I'm going to give you the equipment, and we're about to walk up this thing together. You're going to get out of breath. You're out of shape, buddy. We'll get you right, though. But here's the last one. It's my favorite one, man. Verse 7. Look at this. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? This is my favorite part. I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Here's the last thing. As men, recognizing that we're going to follow Jesus and be an example, it's grow in knowing your role. You ain't God. You ain't God. Quit acting like it. Think about what we say and how we act. Think about what we do. Now, this, man, when I read this story, it humbles me real quick, doesn't it? God, look what I did. Look at how good I am. I'm a preacher, man. People come and talk to me. People do all these things, right? For me. Look at how great I am, and look at all the things that I do. But notice what it says. Does the man serving and plowing and tending sheep out in the field, does he come in at once and say to the master, hey, bro, I need to sit down and you need to serve me because look at all the work that I've done for you. Sometimes that's what we do, though, don't we? And you know where it spills out? Into our homes. It spills out with our homies. It spills out with our friends, doesn't it? We talk to our friends about all the things that we do and how we do it and how we're serving God and all of these things, and almost it becomes unintentionally this brag session. No doubt we're supposed to encourage each other. No doubt we're supposed to talk about the praises of Him, right? No doubt we're supposed to talk about the things that are good. But when that becomes our glory and that becomes the thing that we press for, we've missed it completely. I remember Paul said something in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 17 when he said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all for the name of the Lord Jesus. giving thanks to Him. And in verse 23, he goes on and says, remember who you serve. You serve the Lord Jesus. That's who you serve. What a change it would be if in all of our families, we went home and we made it a conscious effort to say, we are servants of Jesus Christ. So I did a thing. So I got asked to go speak to the coaches at Cumberland University, right? So the athletic director goes to 109 where I preach at, and he's like, hey, man, I want you to go talk to the coaches and, you know, give them some energy, and, you know, you're kind of pumped up when you preach, so talk to them. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I thought we're talking probably, I mean, I was thinking like 10 to 15 coaches, right? I pulled up, it's like 80 coaches. So I was like, and I mean, I don't know if you guys are coaches or have coached in here, but I've coached. And what happens when you become a coach is you become a know-it-all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know everything. Like, you know all the plays. You can't listen to, ma'am, please, I'm the coach. Like, you can't talk to me right now. I mean, I don't know how many moms I've had to walk off the cliff because I'm head coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know what you're talking about, and I do. Well, no, you don't. How are you the head coach, dude, right? We become a know-it-all as coach. So I knew I was talking to some know-it-alls, which I was right with them. But I did something. I did something, and I'm proud of myself for it, and I want to keep doing it. And I keep forgetting to do it, but I wanted to do it tonight, and I didn't get to do it because I forgot. But I don't want to forget this because I want to say it. I introduced myself when I walked up there and I said, hey, my name is Matt Miller and I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's what I told them. You know what it did? Set a tone. It set a tone. Are we telling our families that we are bondservants of Jesus Christ? We serve Jesus in this home. Remember what Joshua said? You guys can go and do it. Here they were at the promised land. They made it. They're there. It's ready. The milk and honey is coming. And what does he say? You guys can go serve these other gods. You can go do all those things. But as for me and my house, guess what we're going to do? And we're going to promote it. You all probably have it in your house somewhere on the wall, right? We will serve the Lord. Is that true in your life? Do you know your role? And are you promoting it? I'm just a humble servant here to do what's asked of me. But I think we catch only part of that because our pride doesn't want to accept the truth. One day, your faithful service to this king will be rewarded with a crown of life. I don't know if Jesus is really, you know, like awards day. I don't know, but I got this vision and I just, maybe it'll be way better than this, but that day that I see the Lord and He just gives me the crown. He puts the crown on my head. I don't deserve it, Lord. Yeah, you do. I think about Romans chapter 8. You know, Jesus said, you deserve it because you're a co-heir with me. I made this possible. Thank you for your humility and your service for me. You want to be a real man? Stop tempting other folks. Be willing to forgive. Have a heart that is willing to tell about your faith and let your family see it and know your role. Brethren, I love y'all. I don't even know y'all. But you are God's people. So I love you, man. I love you. Keep pressing. Your labor's not in vain. Your example is not in vain. I know it's hard sometimes. I know it ain't feel like it's what it needs to be. But God sees you. And Jesus lives to make intercession for you. He lives to make intercession for you. That's an incredible thought and worthy of some meditation. How are you carrying your cross as it pertains to a man? Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Lord, my prayer is that I've breathed some air into these men. Fresh air. Life. Excitement. Challenge and understanding. Lord, thank you for letting us be your servants. Let us take pride in what we get to do for you. And let's not be quiet. Lord, thank you for this church here and the example that they are and the love that they have for people, Lord, and souls. Thank you for the elders and the ministers and all the deacons and the brethren here. And let us be purposeful in our pursuit to please you and glorify your name by the acts and the deeds that we do. Lord, we love you. And we give you all the praise. And we ask this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.